You're listening to a sermon of Meadowbrook Church in Ocala, Florida. For more media resources, visit us online at www.nbcocala.com.
We're going to continue on our teaching tonight on the Holy Spirit. How many of you are glad for the Holy Spirit? And Jesus said, if I go away, it's better for you. And if I go away, I won't leave you alone. I won't leave you comfortless. I won't leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And he will be another helper, which literally means he's going to do for you in my absence what I would do for you if I were still present with you. And it's to our advantage because the Holy Spirit is everywhere present at once. He can dwell in each of us all at the same time. And how many of you know that he doesn't just live in this building, okay? You know, when I was growing up, it was God's house, and I thought he lived there, you know, because he sure didn't live at my house growing up, okay? And, But you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when you're born again, you're spirit born. Yes. And then the Bible commands us that we be spirit filled. But you don't stop there, because I'm telling you, some of the meanest people I've ever met are spirit filled, tongue talking people. Okay. Serious. And maybe I was just more shocked because I expected more. But you can be spirit filled and still be totally carnal. And so you want to move on and be spirit-led, spirit-born, spirit-filled, spirit-led. And as you continue in that process of following him and being spirit-led, more and more sensitive to him, then you are in the process of being spirit-formed. And that actually means this. The fruit of that would be, it's not so much that I'm having to will everything and try so hard. It's actually his life now being lived in us as we're more and more conformed to his image, spirit formed, spirit empowered. Our mind is being renewed, our mind habitually staying on the things of the Spirit. And he helps us. And I'll tell you what, that's what we're pressing toward. And Paul said, I'm laboring like someone in giving birth. Until Christ be formed in you. And that's what we need to be working on, all of us, is that he be formed in us, that Jesus truly be seen in us. Not put on religious stuff, but the real deal, his life being seen in us as we are spirit formed. Amen. Now, last week ago, we had Journeys with the Messiah and a wonderful presentation. I watched it online, and then I've got the book, and it's just a fabulous thing. But 2 weeks ago tonight, we started talking about some of the spiritual gifts, and we want to continue on with that tonight. Now, I want to take a few moments here at the beginning and realize that the gifts come from God. Okay, they come from God. They are to help somebody. They're to be used. They're to serve the church. They're to help us in life. They're to serve the church. They're to edify people. They're to glorify God. They're never to exalt an individual. Okay? If somebody is broadcasting and writing their own accolades of how God uses them, I think that's dangerous ground to be on. You know, the gifts are from God. All the glory goes to God. So I don't really have to stop in the middle of that and say, you know, God used me in this wonderful way. You know, you don't want to do that. Okay. It's all to him. Let another man praise you, not your own mouth, but still in that whole process there, you want to make sure, no, you know, without him, we could do nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. It's the Spirit that gives the gifts. It should glorify God. It should edify the church, and it should help people. Never a source of pride, never a source of bragging. Y'all here? Now, we have in the New Testament, we have three lists of gifts. And none of them are complete. Some of them overlap so that and in different orders. And I don't think that they are fully complete. Now, I don't believe that people have like, you know, I have the gift of knitting or something, you know. You may have some natural talent that is God-given. You may have a greater propensity towards something, but I don't think that's necessarily a spiritual gift. Some of you are offended, you know, so I'm leaving. I'm going to knit. So you have the three gifts, the three lists of gifts, and then you also have graces, too. There are graces that go along. And they're very unique. There's a grace actually for martyrdom. people grace for that. There's grace for celibacy, you know, to remain single. I don't have that grace. And there are some other graces that the scripture is very clear about. In Romans chapter 12, you have gifts, and I want you to follow this. They all come from God ultimately, but there's some specific labeling that's going on here. Romans chapter 12, the gifts that you see there are given by God. And so it's reference to the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you have spiritual gifts that are given by the Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 4, you have the gifts given to the church, and those are given by Jesus, the head of the church. Now we find in 1 Corinthians 12, also in Romans 12, that God the Father, Spirit, and Son are all involved in the operation, the giving, the distribution, all of that of the gifts. But it's noteworthy that we realize there's some gifts specifically that seem to be the Father is attached to those, the Spirit attached to some others as far as manifestation. And then also you have some gifts that Jesus, the head of the church, he himself gives gifts in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at all of those. I want to continue just a little bit tonight on some of the gifts that we see in 1 Corinthians 12. And let me stop on something here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, let me read this to you. Now concerning spiritual gifts. That word gifts there is italicized in your Bible, depending on the translation you have. It is, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it's number 9999, which means it's not supported in the original language, but it's implied and it's inserted at the discretion of those that edited that. It is in the context of spiritual gifts and manifestations, but it really has to do with spiritual things. It has to do with spiritual things, the whole, all manner of what is spiritual. And so that relates to the Holy Spirit. So this says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, sistern, all of us, it says, I do not want you to be ignorant. Okay? So some people's approach to the gifts and the things of the Spirit is just let it rip. But see, that's part of what Paul had to deal with so strongly is because people were just letting it rip and they were getting things out of order because they were one of two things, either uninformed or misinformed. And so we do have strong scriptural precedent that we must teach on these things. Yes, the Holy Spirit distributes in the manifestation as he wills, but there's a stewarding of this and these things are to be done in a proper way. So, he does not want us to be uninformed. He does not want us to be misinformed. And with that being said, let me say this. If you look for the Holy Spirit only in the spectacular, you will miss him. Amen. Now stay with me. You don't want just a Spirit-filled night, a Spirit-filled service. You want that. But you want a Spirit-filled life. So we're not looking for him just in the spectacular. See a lot of that happen on TV and in certain circles and so forth, you know, and everything has to be hair raising, you know, whatever. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But don't look for the Holy Spirit only in the spectacular. Because sometimes he's in that still small voice. Sometimes he's doing things all around you. You're going to be absolutely amazed when you see the video replay in heaven. Of how he played, worked in our lives so much. Also, do not look for the Holy Spirit only in the sentimental. See, there's some people that they don't feel the Spirit unless certain songs are played, a certain this happens, or whatever. Be careful of that. Now, how many of you like the good old days? How many of you remember the good old days? We all do. You know, I wish it was Leave It to Beaver. Sometimes I wish I was in third grade again. You know, there's a lot of old things that, you know, I just love. There's so much simplicity of life and things like that. So I'm not really talking about that so much. But Scripture several times points out that you've got to be careful about not getting too sentimental. And one place in particular, Ecclesiastes 7:10. And it's brought out, especially in the Message Bible, says, don't always be asking, where are the good old days? Wise folks don't ask questions like that. There's another place in Jeremiah 3:16, where he's telling them, don't get stuck. And he's saying the same thing about the good old days, when back when we had the ark and this and that. And you got to be careful in this, that you don't, in our pursuit of the things of the Holy Spirit, that you don't get stuck on it. It has to be spectacular, or that it is something that you equate sentimentally. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit is constantly new. He has established who he is and how he does things. But this is just a caution, because Paul said, I don't want you to be misinformed or uninformed. We should desire a sane Holy Spirit experience. I only got two amens out of that. What if I'd said we desire an insane Holy Spirit experience? No, and there's a lot of reason for that, and we've covered a lot of ground on that. Stay mindful of the importance of Spirit-born, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-formed, because the more that we are that in our 168 hours of the week, then we come together, the more we'll be able to optimize and maximize what the Holy Spirit is doing in our time together as well.
Amen.
Don't you just be a worshiper when you come here.
Amen.
Don't you just use your prayer language, you know, in settings in a prayer group or whatever. Don't just then. Don't just read your Bible when you're here.
Amen.
Don't just get still before God or seek Him just when you're here. If you do that, you know, you're wasting 166 hours out of your week. And you're minimizing what could be happening when we all come together. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, it says, having then gifts, everybody say gifts,
yes.
Gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us, what?
Use
them. That's what the gifts are for, is to use. Let me just stop and say this. It's often a combination of some natural thing that God has given you. How many of you feel like, and you're not bragging on yourself, but you feel like there's some things I kind of have a natural ability toward.
Yes.
You know, some people are good cooks and some people are challenged. Some people can tell a joke and other people can't tell a joke to save their life. I mean, they mess up the punchline and tell it at the wrong time, you know, and you know, and they have to, they don't understand why nobody else is laughing. There are natural things that, and I believe they all came from God. But then there are some things here that I believe in this grouping, this list, that are, when you are spirit born, that God kind of adds some special grace to this and enhances it for the sake of the kingdom. So let's read on here. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Oh, that's why I stopped in the first place. If you can sing good, that should not just be for in your shower. Now, you should use that to magnify God, to praise God. But when you have gifts, use that for somebody. If you've got a great smile, if you have leadership, if you have this or that, we are to use them. Now, let's keep reading. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And we kind of defined these 2 weeks ago tonight. Or ministry or serving, let us use it in our ministering or serving. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And we read that in several versions the other night. Now, part of your life satisfaction. How many of you know that you should be satisfied in life?
Yes.
There's some teaching out there that you should just suffer for Jesus all the time. And I want to know, what Bible are you reading from? All of the promises talk about Him delivering us and helping us and restoring us. Yeah, we go through some things. Some of them self-inflicted. I do also believe, I don't believe that God is the author of evil. I don't believe that God tempts us. I don't believe that God, you know, I'm going to squish them like a bug so they'll turn to me. God didn't do that. Show me some verses on that. That's, you know, get Bible for things. But however, I do believe that God will chasten those that He loves. How many of you know, my stepdad used to say that, I'm going to show you how much I love you. I thought, no, I'm good. Just tell me, you know. But that chastening comes to those that didn't first listen to what he said. And it's always best, you know, as a parent, you don't just go in and wail on your kids. You try to train them. You try to tell them, don't do that. I'm going to tell you one more time. Don't do that. And you know what? God's doing that to you all the time. So then we're, you know, God's trying to teach you something. He's been trying to teach you something. And so, you know, we need to listen to him all along that path. But we are to have some satisfaction in life and to have some joy in life. You are wired to pursue it. I know of no one, and I use this illustration all the time, I know of no one who gets rocks in their shoes or something and go, praise the Lord. Just going to plod on for Jesus. You'll lean on a total stranger to get that fixed. Come on. You're kind of wired for that. Now, that being said, everything in life does not go smooth. And you do get rocks in your shoes and, you know, and different things happen in life. But there, we should also be pursuing what things actually do bring contentment and satisfaction in our life. Now, listen to this. Part of your life satisfaction and joy is in discovering and using the gifts that God has given you. You're gonna be at your best. You're gonna find great satisfaction when you use what God has gifted you to do. And I believe that people are at their best when they're operating in their gifts. I think that, you know, when, and this happens in the secular world all the time. Country music, rock music, whatever it would be. When we see a musician, where did they get that gift? Whether or not they're using it for God, where did they get it? They got it from God. And you know, and it pulls on people because people are at their best when they're in their gift. And when I see somebody wailing on their gift, using their gift, and they may not even be using it for God, there's something very attractive and appealing about that. And I'm saying that in a pure sense, but it's like they're at their best when they're doing what they were created to do. And you're going to have your greatest satisfaction when you take the gifts that God has given you and you use them for him. It's going to produce joy in you. It's going to produce satisfaction. So in the name of stewardship, you need to find out, discover what your gift or gifts are and develop them. Now, we want to help you to do that a little bit. And when you leave here in just a few moments, we have printed up for you a spiritual gifts inventory. And there's a bunch of questions on there. And it'll take you probably about 20 minutes or so. You don't have to bring it back. You don't have to turn it in. But we're going to have greeters at the door that when you leave, you can get that and go home and you can grade it too. Because you go through and you just answer the questions. And then there's a grading portion at the end. And it'll tell you for number one, number 33, number this, if you grade, you know, what your score was on that, mark that here. And it will help to identify for you some of those gifts. Those of you watching online, or if you don't get one at the door, we also have it posted on our website right now. So that you can click on there and you can answer it right there. And then you can find out in 20, 25 minutes, it will help you to take inventory and survey what are my gifts. And then also, we've got an online link that we can send you to. It's called churchbuilder.net. I'm all wrong. Building Church. I had the right idea. Buildingchurch.net. And if you go there and then click on the tab, Gifted to Serve, buildingchurch.net, Gifted to Serve, there's an online one that will grade itself, okay? Because some of you like, you know, I don't want to grade myself or whatever. This will actually tally it for yourself, completely free, and it will help you to do that. Because listen to me, look at me. Stewardship. God gave you a gift. It's not for you to polish and put somewhere or brag about it. It's for you to use and for you to maximize that gift to glorify God and to help other people. Then I really strongly, strongly want to encourage you to discover it and study about it and learn more about it and then begin to develop and use those gifts for the glory of God and to help other people. Amen. So a couple ways we wanted to help you tonight. Now, I'm not going to be able to finish all that I have tonight, and that's why I teach in series, so it all works out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says this. Well, you know what? I skipped something. I'm going to back up just a little bit. Everybody has at least one gift.
Yes.
1 Peter chapter 4. Sorry, Terry. 1 Peter chapter 4 in the New Living says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, 7, New Living, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can what? So we can help each other. God doesn't give the same gift set to everybody. You know, so chances are, everybody's got a little bit different skill set, gift set, so to speak. You need to discover and understand and develop those. And take advantage of the things that we're giving you on the way out and the things online as well. Now, I just read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. I want to read it again. It says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. This is huge. So we can help each other. The New King James says this, for the profit of all. The goal of the gifts, and this is very, very strong in Paul's teaching, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, is that they're used in the right way, and they will be used in the right way if you'll bear these two banners. Hold on to this, that I want to glorify God. Everybody say, glorify God. Now, hold on. Why would? Well, of course we're going to glorify God, but see, you don't understand this. There are circles all over the place that it ends up being about the gifts and not the gift giver. Or it ends up being about the one who has been given the gift instead of the gift giver.
Amen.
And it's about the gift giver. God is to be glorified.
Yes.
Say it again. God is to be glorified. And the second thing is this, is that people would be edified, that people would profit, people would be helped. That's the purpose of it. Okay? So gift is almost a misnomer in our culture, because we think, you gave it to me, it's mine. And it's all about me and mine, and I want to collect some more and that kind of thing. But it's a grace that has been given. And it is to be, and you must hear this, used in a way that glorifies God and used in a way that helps others or is a profit to all. Let me read you some other scriptures real quick. 1 Corinthians 14, 33 says, for God, and in the same context of gifts and manifestations, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now hear this. I've been in churches before where, especially in my formative years coming up, where I was confused, where I would sit there in a service and things were going on and I was just absolutely confused. And God is not the author of that confusion. God is the author of peace. And what he wants, even if a person is not fully informed or it's a brand new experience for them, there should be a peace that goes with it. And there should not be a confusion that goes with it.
Amen.
I also feel this, and over the next few weeks, I'll be making a point of this. Those in leadership in any kind of group setting where gifts are in operation and manifestation have a responsibility to make sure that things stay in line and in order. Y'all hear me? It's not just, well, we're just going to let that go. No, I'm going to tell you, I won't let something go because I'm not going to have a lot of people confused because one person acted out because of their tradition or whatever. Okay. And that's not to create any kind of fear. That's to guard what God is wanting to do so that he gets glorified and people get helped.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 in the Amplified Bible says, but all things, everybody say all things.
All things,
all things should be done with regard to decency and propriety and in an orderly fashion, and scripture prescribes that for us. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. How many of you are zealous or eager to have spiritual gifts in your life? Okay, if you're not, and be honest about it. If you're not, hopefully over the next few weeks you will. You'll be eager. I want God to do something in me. Now, don't base that on things that maybe in a service you've been in and you've seen or whatever. You know, we're going to base it in the light of Scripture that I want God to put gifts in my life so that He can be glorified, so people can be helped. Amen. And it says, not only should you be zealous for or really eager to have these gifts, you should seek to excel in those gifts, which means we want to do it as prescribed by Scripture. For what purpose? And it was right there in the verse, for edification. Everybody say edification. So the goal would be that whenever we leave, people leave edified. Does everybody know what edified means? Build up. Build up. I've been in services before where gifts were used in the wrong way. And for example, prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And instead, somebody would use something maybe in the name of that and told all of us how bad we were, how bad things were going to be for us, and I'm really mad at you. And you leave just like this. And you know what? That was not, hear me, that was not the Holy Spirit. Because the Scripture would say it will be used for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, I've actually had to in services before say, and it's a rough spot to be in. Say, sorry, folks, not sure what that was, but that was not God, because so that we can get things back on track. See, here's the thing. I just wish like the Holy Spirit would come in like He's done before and just write on the wall. And we go, yeah. But He has chosen, though, to work through people. And so that's why Paul said in very emphatic, imperative terms, I don't want you to be misinformed. And I don't want you to be uninformed. Let's learn what all this is. Let's learn what God's goals are for His gifts, how to use them. And folks, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit will work among us like none of us have ever experienced. And get everything in. And it's not for man to manipulate or man to control, but it's for us to cooperate with what He has prescribed for us. And we're going to see some of the most powerful things that you've ever seen in your life. Amen. And people won't leave confused. And God and nobody will be confused about unless that person touches me or this or this. No, we'll know. We'll know the gift giver. God will be glorified. People will be helped. Lives will be changed. It'd be a wonderful, powerful thing. Amen. Now listen, the devil is not afraid of church as usual. But he is shaking in his stinking boots over people who know who they are in Jesus. And are spirit born and know it. And spirit filled and love it. And spirit led and determined to be so. And are spirit formed and are disciplined according to the word of God and stay true to sound doctrine and gather together for the purpose of glorifying God and edifying people. Folks, I'm telling you what, that is what will turn the enemy on his heels, because he knows here they come again. Sometimes I almost imagine, I've got quite an imagination. It's got me in trouble before, but it's mostly sanctified now. But sometimes I just imagine that when we come together and we worship an almighty God and we study out of His word and we make decisions and commitments in our hearts and we kind of get all filled up again. I view this as kind of a big barn and we're the farm machinery, and we came in and got some maintenance and got fueled up and got cleaned up and fixed up. And then when those doors crack and we go out, you know, and I'll finish that thought in just a moment. We've got this crazy wild cat that showed up at our house recently, and we won't let him in, but we feed him. That's where the analogy breaks down. But every time I open up the door, he's looking. It's like he wants in. Well, you know this, the enemy is not welcome here. and maybe hovering a little bit, you know, to try to get you to pick up right where you left off when you came in. Get that depression back on you. Get you mad at each other again. Get you worrying about stuff. Yeah, they're hanging around your cars. Well, actually, no, because we pray they're not even allowed on this property. But they're out on Southwest 20th, okay? But can you imagine with me that we come so on purpose and God does such a thing in our lives and we make some commitments to Him that when those doors crack open, they run screaming away from you. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And you have gifts. You have gifts.